Thanks to everyone for coming out this Sunday at noon. Thanks to those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. I invite you to give your comments, correspondence, feedback by emailing us at utahchristians@gmail.com. We'd also like to thank those who have taken our membership class and become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. I'd like to talk to you today about there being an appointed or a set time for everything. In life, we find that we spend a lot of our time in waiting rooms, waiting for a dream to pass, waiting for the boy or girl of our dreams, waiting for a problem to turn around. And sometimes, when we're not getting results as fast as we would like, it's easy to get frustrated and get discouraged. But we have to remember that Krishna has established a set time to bring the promise to pass. There's a set time for you to meet the right person, a set time for the problem to turn around, a set time for healing, for favor, for promotion, and for breakthroughs. It may be tomorrow, it may be next week, it might be 5 years from now. But when you realize that the time has already been set, it takes all the pressure off. You won't live worried, wondering whether it's going to happen or not. You'll relax and you'll enjoy your life. Some of you have been praying about a situation for a long time now and you haven't seen anything happening, and maybe you're starting to get a bit discouraged. But what if Krishna were to pull back the curtain and give you a glance into the future, and you were able to see that on February 2nd, 2013, you were going to meet the boy or the girl of your dreams? Wouldn't you be fired up? Wouldn't you be excited about the big day coming? You'd buy yourself some new clothes, start to work out, get rid of the muffin top. Why? Because you know there's a set time. Your big day is coming. Here's what it takes. It takes faith. Krishna promises set times in our future, but he doesn't tell us when they're going to be. So your set time might be tomorrow morning at 9:47. You'll get a phone call. It's just going to take you at a whole new level. But we don't know, and that's where faith comes in. We need to have the faith that the set times are already there and wait expectantly, wait excitedly in the meantime, not getting all down and depressed. Not the kind of waiting like, couldn't they get some better magazines for the coffee table? You know, why do they have to have better business? Why couldn't they do at least Time or Newsweek? Yeah. No, waiting with excitement, waiting with expectancy, waiting productively. Not waiting passively. So the question today is, are you willing to wait with a good attitude, knowing that those set times are on their way? We read about Hanuman in the Ramayana. Hanuman was sent to earth. He was a divine being to help Lord Ramachandra in his pastimes. He was the son of the wind god, and he was born in the race of monkeys. He had unlimited power. And even as a child, he threatened to create great havoc in the universe by his strength. One time his mother gave him an orange. He ate it, it was so tasty that he wanted another one. But his mother was nowhere to be found. So he looked up in the sky and he saw what he thought was an orange hanging in the sky. There actually was the sun. He decided he was going to go pluck that orange and eat it. And he was flying towards the sun with a very, very real chance that he would be able to destroy the universe. This little baby monkey. So Indra, he didn't like the idea, but for the greater good, he took his thunderbolt and he threw his thunderbolt and it hit Hanuman and caused him to crash into the ground. And in the course of it, he broke his jaw, and that's when he became known as Hanuman, which means a broken jaw. So the demigods put their heads together. They tried to figure out how we can limit the damage from this little monkey, monklet, or whatever they call him. And they thought that they would shroud Hanuman in forgetfulness. They would cause him to forget how powerful he was until such time as his set time would arrive. And then he would do something extraordinary which has never been done before in the history of the world in the service of Lord Ramachandra. So Hanuman began to forget how powerful he was and acted like an ordinary monkey. But he always knew. He didn't know when, but he knew that he was there on a divine mission. He knew that he would be called upon at some point in time. So he waited expectantly, he waited productively, he waited positively, he had a great vision for the future, he worked out, he kept himself fit, he became the best Hanuman that he could possibly be. So when Sita was kidnapped and all the monkeys were sitting on the east coast of India at Rameshwaram, and they needed to get 800 miles across the ocean to check out Lanka to see if that was where Sita was being held. So some of the monkeys said, well, I can jump 100 miles, and
know there's monkeys that I can jump 200 miles, and some of the monkeys can jump 400 miles, and some of the monkeys can jump 600 miles. But only Hanuman, who had kept himself waiting expectantly, was able to jump the entire span of 800 miles, find Sita, and set the city of Lanka on fire.
And the other monkeys were disappointed, they were crestfallen. Prabhupada, our guru, he wrote a little short poem about their plight. It's quite short, but to the point. It says, big, big monkey, big, big belly, sila jumpy, melancholy. So they didn't believe that God had a time to thrust them to a whole new level. Or maybe they believed it, but they just didn't have the patience to wait for it and to prepare for it. So they fell a little bit short of the mark. The trick is not to get discouraged during the waiting times. Well, I haven't met the boy or girl in my dreams, and I'm 35 years old, so it probably won't happen. If I haven't got that promotion at work yet, it's probably never going to come. If you're a devotee, if I haven't opened that temple, I'll probably never get to do that. Here's a poem on these lines. I always like this. Quote, long did I toil and knew no earthly rest. Far did I roam and found no certain home. At last I sought them in his sheltering breast, who spreads his arms and bids the weary come. With him I found a home, a rest divine, and I, since then, am his and he is mine. You know the answer is already on the way. You know the right opportunities have already been set in your future. There was a day in February 1970 when I walked into a cafe in Singapore. I sat down at a table with guys from all different countries in the world. There was one vacant chair still there. A gorgeous girl walked in, and of all the guys, I alone jumped up and I pulled out the chair and I seated her. She confided in me many years later. She said her thought at that moment was, he would make a good husband. That was my set day to meet my lifelong partner. We've been married over 40 years now. And that was in February of 1970. But in those days, it wasn't enough just to get married, have a house, pay the mortgage, have kids. You know, we were from the 60s. It had to have meaning. You had to have purpose, see. We were convinced that we were put here to change the course of history, to make a difference in our generation. And so we needed a context. And February, March, April, I got that answer, that my set time for finding purpose and meaning came. I was being spewed out of the subway at Wynyard Station, downtown Sydney, on the George Street during the rush hour. And a little flash of color caught the corner of my eye, and I turned over, and there was Upendra. First Hare Krishna devotee I'd ever met. He'd been sent there by Srila Prabhupada as a missionary and only arrived 2 weeks before. And the place they rented as a temple was just a short few blocks from where my wife and I were staying. And so we would go Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and listen to the talks and then come on Sunday for the special feast. And Upendra instilled in me enough purpose for the next 5 million years. So those 3 months were key in defining my life's partner and defining what we, in a partnership, would do for the rest of our times. And those were two set times. We shouldn't be tentative about it, think, well, maybe things will work out, maybe my goals will achieve themselves, or I believe this will come to pass. No, we should be much, much more confident than that. We should be assertive that Krishna has already set the date, the appointed time has already been put on my calendar. As a clergyman, I'm well aware of the advantages of knowing when people's birthdays and anniversaries are. It's always nice to be able to say, oh, this week's your birthday, this week's your anniversary. If you have the secretary help, you can send a card or a little gift. But in the old days, it was so difficult. You'd write it down on a piece of paper, put it in a drawer somewhere, but always have a way of getting lost in the shuffle. But ever since Google Calendar appeared on the scene, do you have that experience? Someone mentions to you their anniversary, they just mention it in passing, they never even remember that they said it to you. But you go immediately, excuse me a second, you go and you put in your Google Calendar, send me an email 2 days before, another email 2 hours before, and you say, hi Sudhir, happy anniversary. How did you know? I love it, I love Google Calendar, because it takes all the pressure, it takes all the worry off, see what I'm saying? So similarly, if we believe that God has our set times, He has appointed hours for us, we can go ahead and be aggressive, pursue our goals, be ambitious, at the same time, just be peaceful. Just take all the pressure off and realize that when time is coming, it will not be 1 second too late. It will be very, very precisely sent our way. Sometimes we think, oh, everybody's getting ahead of me. All my coworkers have got promotions and I'm stuck in the same position. All my friends have gotten married and I'm still single. I'm still sucking. But don't get discouraged. Your set time is coming. It will come not 1 second too late. The good news is that the Lord knows how to make up for what seems like lost time. If you stay in faith, there'll be a set time which pushes you forward explosively 50 years. If you read the Mahabharata, it seemed that the Pandavas were just cooling their heels for 13 years. They've been cheated out of their kingdom by a crooked dice game. They went to the forest. All they did was they're sitting by the fire and listening to the stories of ancient times by great saints and sages, twiddling their thumbs, losing time apparently, while their enemies, Duryodhana, Ashwatthama, Karna, they were training, they were working out, they had personal trainers, they had the best of foods, the best of nutrition, and their sole purpose was that when the Pandavas would come out of the forest, stumble out of the forest, weak and disoriented, they would be powerful enough to exterminate them for once and for all. And yet when Krishna brought the Pandavas, and the Pandavas stayed those 13 years in faith with a good attitude, when Krishna brought them out of the forest, He thrust them forward in such a way that not only did they get back whatever they lost during those 13 years, but they got so much more. And their enemies were felled into the dust. So Krishna knows not only how to compensate you, but how to bring you back double from what you were before. So don't worry about other people getting ahead of you. Run your own race. Keep being the best you that you could possibly be. And trust Krishna to get you to where you're supposed to go. He's not a random God. He's a precise God. He has lined up solutions before the problem even comes up. June 23rd, 2001, the first Indian Hare Krishna temple opened in Utah Valley in the state of Utah. What an amazing time. Not random, but precisely calculated. Years before, Bhai Bobby and I had started to get an inkling, started to get a sense, a dream from the Lord was meant to be a temple on this particular hill. And so we started talking about it. We brought it from the unseen realm to the subtle material realm of sound. How many square feet it would be, how many domes would be, so on and so forth. We started to bring that from the unseen to the seen world. And when we infected a few other people of means, including Sri Sharma, Dr. Dinesh Patel, with this same vision, then from sound, it got translated into architectural plans and drawings. And then ultimately from architectural plans and drawings, it got translated to concrete blocks, stucco, domes, columns, etc., etc. And on June 23rd, 2001, that building, which had been established since the beginning of the universe, but in the unseen world, we were fortunate enough to have been instrumental in bringing it into the seen world. And that moment was a set moment in time which had always been established by the Lord. It was just that we were willing to recognize it was there and allow ourselves to be instruments in that. If you make good choices and you do the right things, what you're doing is you're planting healthy seeds. And at the set times, you'll taste the fruits of those seeds. What you plant in the unseen world will manifest sooner or later in the seen world. In Calcutta, the Botanical Gardens, there's a huge banyan tree. It spans several acres. Probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest banyan tree in the world. But 500 years ago, that banyan tree was encapsulated in a little microscopic seed that was barely visible to the eyes. It was there, but it was embryonic. It simply took the passage of time before it reached its full potential. A farmer, for instance, he may not know the exact day that his crops are going to be harvestable, but if he's done the needful, if he's fertilized, if he's plowed, if he's sowed, if he's tilled, he can be confident. He may not know the time, but he can be absolutely confident that there will be a time. I don't know if you remember last year, but there was a lot of chilly days in the spring. Even in March and April and even May, there were frosts, and everybody got a late start with their planting, including us in Spanish Fork.
So anyway, when we were fairly assured that there would be no more frost in time, we did our tilling and everything. But June went by, July went by, we were into August, nothing. And I began to think that probably we'll miss the whole harvest. The first frost is right around the corner, it'll come before we harvest. But by the end of August, the garden just started exploding. Eggplants, peppers, corn, black-eyed peas, lima beans, it just started, squash, watermelon, it just started exploding. And for about a month there, us and a whole small army of volunteers were just canning, we're cooking and freezing. It was everything we could do just to get everything up off the ground and get it into storage or else to consume it. So there was a point in there, I doubted we'd get anything, but shortly thereafter, I was amazed. I was amazed at how much was forthcoming. We need to learn to trust Krishna's timing. If it hasn't happened yet, it doesn't mean that something's wrong. It doesn't mean that God's mad at you. It doesn't mean that it's never going to work out. He's already established a time right down to the split second. You don't have to worry. You don't have to live frustrated. Just stay in peace. Enter into an inner kind of rest, knowing that Krishna's got you in the palm of his hands. Take the pressure off. God, when are you going to change my husband? When are you going to change my wife? When are you going to answer my prayers? We don't have to bring those subjects up. We don't have to dwell upon them. When you know that the time has been set, you'll have peace. Whether it's 20 minutes from now or 20 years from now, you know that what Krishna has promised, that will come to pass. He's got promises, solutions, vindication, health, but he doesn't tell us the exact date those are going to come. Of course, it would be so much easier if we knew, but then we wouldn't have to exercise our faith. It takes faith to say, Krishna, I don't know when you'll do it, but I trust you will do it, that the answer is already in my future. The Lord knows what we need, he knows who we need, and he knows when we need it. If he did everything on our timetable, it would limit us. Maybe sometimes what we're asking is too small. Sometimes the person we think we can't live without, Krishna knows in 10 years they won't be good for us, so he slams that door now to save us so much grief, energy, and time in the long run. Krishna has the advantage of seeing it all. It's like being on the sun. Everything is clear. There's no obscuration of clouds. He sees past, present, and future. How many times have you looked back in your past and thought, Lord, thank you for not answering that prayer? Even what you're praying about, it may be good, it may be part of your destiny, but it's not the appointed time. If there's a right time, it means there's also a wrong time as well. Present day society programs us for immediacy. Lord, whatever you do, don't make me wait. We've got to have it now. But it's not through faith alone that we achieve our inheritance, but it's also through patience. The vulture is hungry and he's circling overhead looking at the cow. And he's wishing the cow would die because he's hungry. But the cow's not going to oblige him to die just to satisfy his hunger. He's got to wait until the appointed time. He's got no other option to do. Those of you ladies who have been pregnant, you might have an idea of what we're talking about. Perhaps in the first 6 months of your pregnancy, everything's good, you're feeling fine. But then after 6 months, your feet start to swell. In the 7th month, your back hurts. You're not able to sleep very well. And by the 8th month, you're saying, Lord, let this child come now. I want it now. I'm too uncomfortable. But if that child were to come there, at that time, it might not be healthy. There's growing being done. There's things coming together. You can't just have the child because you're uncomfortable. But you have to tolerate the discomfort in the interest of carrying the child full term so that the child will be healthy and that the child will be able to be everything that it can be. So sometimes things aren't happening on our timetable because they're not ready. There's a lot of things coming together. Maybe Krishna's doing a work on you. Maybe he's growing you stronger in the middle of that delay. But while you're waiting, don't make the mistake of trying to take things into your own hands and force things to happen. We read in the scripture of Diti and Kasyapa. They were progenitors, originators of mankind. And Diti, even though it was the wrong time, it was the wrong moment, there were inauspicious omens, she became overwhelmed with lusty desires. And she provocatively approached her husband, Kasyapa, and he succumbed to her arguments, and they conceived a child. She thought, that child is going to be the fulfillment of my dreams. But she had gone outside of the plan of the Lord in order to get that child. So it wasn't the fulfillment of her dreams. It was the furthest thing from that. That child was named Hiranyakashipu. And he was a great demon along with his brother Hiranyakashipu. They did so much mischief. They created so much havoc that they were described as a case of meningitis in the head of the universe.
Actually, the Lord has established a plan to get good progeny. And people in traditional India used to perform what's called the Garbhodan Sanskara in order to get good children. They would identify an auspicious time to bear a child or to conceive a child. They would get up in the morning and they would chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And they would saturate their consciousness with God consciousness. And then they would conceive with the hope and the expectation that their purified mentality would attract a great, rare soul. That would be a joy to them and would give credit to them and would increase their reputation and the reputation of the village in which they live. Now, Aditi's sister, Aditya, she observed all those different protocols, and instead of getting demons, she got the suras, or the devas, or the demigods. Pious, righteous beings came to the earth through the womb of Aditi. There are times in our life when we're tempted to take things in our own hands and force things to happen. Maybe in dating. You know that boy that you're dating is not good for you. He doesn't treat you with respect, but you're unwilling to break it off because you're afraid you might not get someone else in the future. I've learned a long time ago that God doesn't need help. He's got it all figured out. He knows the end from the beginning. All we have to do is trust Him. Don't try to force the doors open. Just stay in peace, trust Him and His timing, and He'll open doors that no man can shut. He'll bring the right people across your path. He'll defeat your enemies and get you to where you're supposed to be. Now, there's a big difference between Krishna giving you something and our trying to force things. When we try to force things and go outside of God's plan, it's a constant struggle. It's a burden. We can't seem to get things off the ground. But if we let Krishna do it His way and in His timing, we'll accomplish things with a supernatural ease. It is said that if you're lined up with God's purposes, even difficult things become easy. If you're outside of God's purposes, even easy things become difficult. Take Gandhi. Gandhi was obviously destined to liberate India from the English. And it was a daunting task. There were many, many obstacles. It took 30 years. But in the end, he successfully caused the British to quit India. At that time, God had another destiny in mind for him. At the time that he had the attention and the accolades of the entire world, Krishna intended for him to use that notoriety to preach the Bhagavad Gita. That after having liberated India from the British, he had the means and he had the attention of the world that he could have liberated living beings from birth, death, disease, and old age. But he tried to force things. He stayed in politics. He thought, they need me. I'm essential here. And at that time, Prabhupada wrote him a letter which was incredibly prophetic. Because after India got liberated, and Gandhi bypassed the chance to preach and spread Bhagavad Gita all over the world, things went south very, very quickly. As soon as he tried to force things, at one point he said, I would rather India still be under the British than that it be separated as India and Pakistan. And in the morning that he was assassinated, before going to the Birla Mandir, he confided in a friend, I just want to die. So disappointed was he. Prabhupada had sent him a letter several years before, and that letter is so prophetic. I'll just read two or three sentences from it. You should therefore take a note of warning from your insignificant friend like me, that unless you retire timely from politics and engage yourself 100% in the preaching work of the Bhagavad Gita, which is the real function of Mahatmas, you shall have to meet with such inglorious deaths as Mussolini, Hitler, Tojas, Churchill's, or Lord Lloyd George's met with. Prophetic? You may have opposition, in serving the purposes of the Lord. But in spite of people coming against you, in spite of opposition, you'll feel a favor, you'll feel a grace, and in all of that, you'll feel a peace that will thrust you forward. Maybe at work you lost an important client. Now don't jump to conclusions. Don't get all feverish. Don't try to take things in your own hand and think, I got to get a second job. Or maybe someone's talking bad about you at work and your inclination is to just jump in there and go toe to toe for them and set them right. No, take a moment. Be still. Count to 10. Take a deep breath. Chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. The battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. But as long as we keep trying to make it happen, pay that person back, we're worried, we're upset, then Krishna's going to step back and let you do it on your own. He's poised, he's only too willing to give us vindication and restoration, but we have to do our part and be still and remain at rest. We have to wait for the set time of the Lord. If you'll be patient and not rush to give birth to demons like Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, then Krishna has demigods in store for you if you wait for the right thing at the right time. Some of you are facing a challenge now. You're worried, you're upset, it's difficult for you to sleep at night, you're frustrated. Krishna is saying to you, be still. I've got it all figured out. I've already set the time to deliver you. I've set the time not only to bring you out, but to bring you off better than you were before. Now do your part and rest. Trust Krishna's timing because he knows what he's doing. Sometimes he brings delays just to show his power in a greater way. It is said in the Mahabharata, Krishna personally went to Duryodhana to plead for peace. And he spoke the most convincing arguments. And it is described, the voice of the Lord is like rolling thunder. It's very pleasing to the ears. And Krishna is also in the heart of Duryodhana. He's external, he's internal. But why is it that Duryodhana didn't agree to Krishna's arguments? Because the Krishna was within the heart, hardened Duryodhana's heart, so that the words of Krishna from outside would bounce off of him. So that God could show his power in a greater way. And thus all the miscreants were gathered in one place on the Kurukshetra field, and with Krishna driving the chariot of Arjuna, the entire miscreant problem of the world was solved within 18 days in one fell swoop. Krishna showed his power in a way that had never before seen in the history of the world. Your situation, your individual situation, may be taking longer than you thought it would. It may be harder than anything that you've ever experienced before in your life. But that does not mean that the enemy is getting the best of you or that Krishna went on vacation. It means he's going to turn around and show his favor, his strength, and a power in a way that you've never seen before. You might as well get ready because when Krishna brings you out, nobody around you is going to have any doubt that he is an omnipotent, awesome God. Now my challenge is to trust Krishna's timing. Stand still and you'll see him deliver you. When you remain at rest, you'll fight your battles. Friends, there are set times in your future. Quit worrying about when it's going to happen. Krishna can see the big picture. He knows what's best for you. Dare to say, Lord, my times are in your hands. Take all the pressure, all the struggle out of it. You know he has it all taken care of. So you can relax and enjoy your life while you're waiting for his promises to come to pass. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.